If you have your Bibles, Galatians, the fourth chapter, is where we're going to be at, starting verse 21. We've been looking through Galatians and correlating that with this time of communion. In Galatians chapter 4, starting verse 21, and then we'll stop at 26 for a moment. But in verse 21, Galatians 4, it says, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery for her children, or with her children. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother." In verses 25 and 26, Paul is noting a distinction of the two births that we see and that we can read about in the book of Genesis. We know the story, I'm sure, of Abraham, and that he and his wife Sarah were not able to have children. And a promise was given to him that they would have children. Though we see that they run ahead of God, and Sarah gives Hagar, her handmaiden, to Abraham, and she bears a son, Ishmael. And Ishmael is born of Hagar, but as Paul says, that was after the flesh. Ishmael was not of the promise. And Paul is making this correlation with the old covenant and how the law is because of the flesh. In fact, Paul expands upon this thought in Romans, the seventh chapter, in verses 7 through 13, when he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin is had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what covenanting really was if the law had not said, 'You shall not covenant.' But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandments came, sin sprang into my life, and I died. I found that the very commandment which was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful." And we see the correlation with Hagar and her child with that of Mount Sinai and the giving of the commandments and the law. But what did that bring forth? A recognition of sin, and sin taking that opportunity, as Paul shares with those at Rome, the Christians, it brought forth death. But Paul continues on and speaks of the child of promise, that was to come from Sarah. And he was born, and it was Isaac. That was the promise given by God from above. He is given by the divine. He is of that which is spiritual. Paul continuing on in Romans chapter 8, as he talks about the law and sin in Romans 7, he says this, though, in Romans 8, starting in verse 1, and expands on this thought of Isaac and the promise. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, it was weakened by the flesh. But God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin to the flesh, in order that righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, Jesus is of the seed and line of Isaac. Isaac, the child of promise, given by God, of something better. And Christ, and Paul expounds on that. That the better, which is Christ, the new covenant, that which is spiritual, that helps to meet the righteous requirements that we ourselves cannot meet because of our flesh, he met that for us. And that promise was given long ago to Abraham. Going back to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 27, it says, "For it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child, shout for joy and cry aloud, you who are never in labor, because more of the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now, you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise." Verse 28. We get to partake of the promise, not just those at Galatia who are Christians, but we are children of the promise. Remember in Paul's first gospel message after the ascension of Christ, verse 38 of Acts chapter 2 we're familiar with, where Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But note 39, the promise. Peter understands, Paul understands. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. We're partaking of the promise as children of God. Verse 29 to 31, it says, "At that time, the Son born according to the flesh persecuted the Son born of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman." Note this famous ending to a speech. It was given in Washington, D.C. in the 1960s. And when this happens, and when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men, white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." When Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. uttered these words, he was looking and hoping for a day when in this country we would have unity and freedom. But note what Paul says in verse 31. "Brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free." Paul is uttering something even greater than what Dr. King uttered. What he's uttering is the fact that we can all be spiritually free from the bondage of sin and be born of the promise. We are called to live as Christians and have the promise of being free. And that's what we're here today in celebration of the bread and of the cup, of the freedom of the promise that has been given to us, not just through Jesus Christ, but what was uttered thousands of years ago to Abraham, that the promise would be not just for his son Isaac, but for future generations, for those who are far off. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessing. That, Lord God, as we come together to remember the promise, that, Lord God, we partake of a greater promise, Lord God, and that is the hope and redemption and righteousness that we find through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, we are not of the slave woman, but we're of the free woman. We're free. We're so grateful and thankful to be able to celebrate that here today. We thank you for the opportunity to reaffirm that, to be convicted of that, and to cling to that. And it's through your Son's name we pray. Amen.